To the book of Isaiah. Our verse this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Very short, but very powerful. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then said I, "Here am I. Send me." Let's kneel as we pray. Father God, we come before you as your children to worship you this morning. You're the great creator. You're the great redeemer. We love you with all of our hearts, Lord. We know that you love us more than that. Father, we ask for your blessing upon us today as we worship you. Pray that you'll be with William as he speaks to us. May his words touch us, and may we go from this place to be a blessing to those around us. We pray for those that are not feeling well, those that are sick or in need of comfort. We pray that your spirit will be with each one. Pray for those that aren't here that should be, Lord. May we be the instruments used by you to bring them here. And Father, we want to be the one that goes as you call us to go. Now bless us as we worship you. In Jesus' name, and your will be done. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Here I am, Lord. Do what you will with me. This morning, I want to invite us into this Isaiah moment, your Isaiah moment. Let's pray. Dear God, this is a special moment right now. Every time that we do this, we don't want to take it for granted. We have gotten ourselves out of our beds, dressed up, and driven here, and now we are sitting here in a very sacred space. And it's not so much about the bricks and the mortar and the wood, it could be anywhere, but right now, this is a sacred space. And you want to invite each of us here, God, wherever we've journeyed this last week, into this Isaiah moment. And we pray this in your name, amen. Amen. Yeah, this Isaiah moment is a space and time where God invites you into this forgiveness and into a purpose of your life. And it's one of those things that doesn't just happen one time and then that's it. It actually happens quite repeatedly. Could be every day. Could be a week at a time. It could be whenever. It's God inviting you to this Isaiah moment. And that is what I hope that we experience at some level today. And this Isaiah moment, as you know, is based on a personality in the Bible named Isaiah. But this name, Isaiah, kind of takes me to a different person named Isaiah, who is only right now, as I speak, 4 years old, right? He is traveling the country right now. Little Isaiah Michael Fisher, right? You know who this person is. This little boy is quite lucky, born into a Christian family, God-fearing family, and lucky him, a very wealthy family, right? Has everything that he desires, living the dream on a tour bus, traveling the country with mom and dad, and he's rolling with the influential people, with the stars of America, because little Isaiah Michael Fisher, he is the son of, some of you might have heard of Carrie Underwood, right? A famous Christian music singer. I don't know if you like her or not. I don't care either way. But she sang the song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." So you know that little Isaiah is going to have a voice, right? Like one of these days, he's going to grow up and he's going to have a tremendous voice influencing thousands of people, maybe millions of people, much like the biblical Isaiah, right? Develop this voice. I don't know if the biblical Isaiah his mom, I don't know if his mom was thinking much about this future for Isaiah, but little Isaiah in the Bible, scholars think, grew up very affluent and aristocrat, moving around amongst royalty. He, during his lifetime, interfaced with four different kings. He was very influential, and sure enough, he was living the dream back in those days with independent Judea, right? It was its own nation, walking around in Jerusalem, the walled city, powerful, strong city. There's this boy growing up, and there it is, the big temple, right, that Solomon built only 100 years before. Magnificent, beautiful, dream of dreams temple. What a glorious life. And here is Isaiah moving around, and we pick up his story in Isaiah 6. So please follow the scriptures with me. It would be much more interesting. And I am reading from the NLT, New Living Translation. In Isaiah 6, 1, we pick up his story, and it goes like this. It was in the year of King that the king Uzziah died. Okay, so what year was that? Not too long ago, 1,200 years ago, 740 B.C., all right, so it goes way back to 740 B.C. It was the year that King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. Isaiah, people think, is on the outside of the temple. He's walking around, and is it in the morning? Is it in the afternoon? Are there a lot of people around him? But he goes into some kind of vision, some kind of maybe something similar that we think of like Ellen White when she went into vision, some kind of trance. And there he is looking, and it says, I saw the Lord. Some type of epiphany, some kind of theophany, where this is actually Jesus Christ revealing himself to Isaiah. As we find out later in Scripture, this is talking about Jesus. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim. These were angels, very highly skilled, highly intelligent angels, each having six wings. Interesting. My son Xander, he's inventing an airplane, right, that has a hovering system. But imagine you having a pair of wings, right? Well, this angel, this type of angel, had six wings. Like, amazing engineering in this creation, and could do so many things. So here he is seeing this happening. There's the Lord and these angels with two wings. They covered their faces. With two wings, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And they were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So here are these beautiful angels in total and perfect synchrony with Jesus Christ. They are attuned to him. They are in obedience to him. They are covering their feet in submission, covering their faces. They're in complete reverence to him, repeating, holy, holy is the Lord. And there's Isaiah completely in this vision. And what happens to him is here in verse 4. The voices shook the temple to its foundations. This is the temple that Solomon built. It took him 20 years, right, to build this thing, this humongous, beautiful temple with layered on the base of its stones and this walled city. And this temple in the city begins to shake. The voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. It's like fire coming out of the temple, just smoke burning. And what does Isaiah do? Isaiah says in verse 5, it's all over. It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Things had changed. Isaiah had grown up. The kind of feeling and the mood in the city had changed. It was no longer living the dream. Things were getting a little bit shaky. They were finding out the invasion army was coming in, the Assyrians. And so now here is Isaiah saying, oh, it's all over. I am filthy. And I live among people who have filthy lips. That word, sinful man, that's, I like that word. It is tameh in Hebrew. It's unclean, it's impure, it's defiled, polluted. Isaiah says he's undone. He is doomed. He is lost. It's not worthy. Not worthy. The Isaiah moment. The Isaiah moment. A lot of times we think of Isaiah as like, oh, here I am, Lord, send me. Let's go. But before that, a part of this Isaiah moment in our lives is this undoing. It is this recognizing the truth of who we actually are as broken human beings. I am undone. I am unglued. I am broken. I'm a sinful man. Have you felt that before in your life? Surely you have. All of us have, right? Just stress, anxiety, disappointment. Coming to this place in your life where it's like, oh, man, I don't know. Some people call it the anxious core. The anxious core that we cannot take away from our being. And this anxious core at times explodes into different experiences, rage or acts of sinful behavior. Really, it's coming from this anxious core that is where Isaiah is. I was on a mission trip, since we're talking about mission trips today. I was 16 years old. I see someone back there. Is that Heidi back there by any chance? Oh my goodness. Everyone take a look back there. I cannot believe that it's Heidi. Were you on this mission trip with me? I don't know. This is a mission trip. I'll say it. I was a student enrolled at Laurelwood Academy, right? Up there in Gaston, Oregon, little startup self-supporting school. It was a big conference school. I'm sure some of you remember that. Maybe you were there. Then it became they closed it down, and then it became a little startup self-supporting school. So my friend and I went to this school. I went there for 1 year as a student, and they had some missionary training experiences for us. And they said, let's go to the Navajo Nation in Arizona on a mission trip. So as a senior, I said, okay, all right. And so we piled in this little minivan, and we started driving down there. And I remember being tired on this long drive, squeezing in between the benches, trying to sleep, and finally getting down there and working with the Native Americans and really not feeling anything tremendous. It wasn't like, oh, whoa, I'm on a mission trip. This is a life-changing experience. It was kind of, we were there, we were helping, we were raking out a field from the rocks, and we were helping the kids in the classroom. It was my first experience as a missionary. And on the way back, I had this very memorable experience. We came and stayed with an individual. I didn't know this person, but we were in their home. And I was feeling this Isaiah moment of need. As a teenager who was trying to figure it out, many broken pieces in my life, trying to understand connection. As a new convert of maybe less than a year, there I was, hurting, in need, feeling my sin. Just, oh, I cannot connect with God. I don't know what to do. I have so many broken pieces. And I walk out to the outside in this lonely house in Arizona somewhere, and go out to the backyard with weeds and an old barn, and I look up to the heavens, and it's beautiful out there, millions of stars. And I look up, and I'm thinking, God, I need you. God, where are you? I just felt dissonance, separation, not able to fully understand how to follow God, seeing the depths of my sin. Here I was, a Christian kid on a mission trip, from a Christian school. I wasn't doing drugs on the street, killing people, robbing bank. No, I was a good Christian kid. It didn't matter. I had a sense of my sin. I had a sense of need, and there I was. Help me, God. And this is what Isaiah is feeling in this vision, seeing the glory of the heavens, seeing God. And this is what happens next. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." This angel comes out from the smoke and the earthquake with fire, and he comes out with this hot stone, this thing that's been in the altar where the lamb has been slain, representing Jesus Christ. There it is, being burned, and Jesus being judged through the lamb, purifying everything. The angel takes this hot stone and places it on Isaiah's lips, burning away the areas that are impure. And then, in that moment, Isaiah, who was undone, who was unclean, is now still and quiet. And there's peace, and there's light, and there's grace taking over. And there's anointing in his lips. And his life is changed in that Isaiah moment. See, when I was in that field in Arizona, and I was there just looking up, and I don't know how God works with people. It's his own genius, mathematical way of dealing with each one of us individually. For me, in that moment, he knew that I needed something right then and there. And as I looked up, I said, "God, if you're there," it was a moment of desperation, "God, if you're there, show me, tell me." And in that moment, this hot stone, like it was from the altar with Isaiah, this hot stone pierced into the earth's atmosphere, burning up and leaving a trail of light, a falling star, huge one. And for me in that moment, it was like, wow, thank you, God. You're with me. You're accompanying me. You've forgiven me. It's about you. And you filled me with grace. And that is the Isaiah moment that we all need, don't we? That we need. We are filled with need. We're here inside. It's nice and comfortable. But deep inside, the story behind the story behind the story, there might be trouble. There might be challenge. And you need to hear the angel saying, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Are forgiven. What if someone held you and just repeated over and over again, "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you." This is what Jesus would be saying to you. "I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you." God forgives you. He forgives you. He forgives you. He forgives you. Let that sink in. Yes, yes, I forgive you, God says. And as we experience that, as we allow that to come in into our anxious core and bring healing in that moment, then we're filled with forgiveness. And the love of God comes in. And then, and only then, Can we truly, from our most authentic self, say, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Otherwise, it's formalism. It's shallow. It's not real. It's only when we have this healing from God that in that moment we can say, God, what do you want me to do, God? I'm here. I'm here for you, God. What can I do for you? And that is what it says here in verse 6. Verse 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Send me. After I graduated from Laurelwood Academy back in, 1993, I wasn't ready to just leave. I was just getting filled and just bringing some healing. And so I remember sitting at the steps of the principal's office or principal's house, his front steps, thinking, God, what do you want me to do? I will do that. See, when you go on a mission trip, this is just a moment in your time. Like, this is an event. It will come, you'll do it, and then it will end, and you'll continue, and that's it. See, a mission trip is supposed to be a lot more than that. It's supposed to be a life orientation where you become a missional person, where you become someone that knows you are called to do something. God is asking, I need some help. Who can help me? You've positioned your life in a way to say, look, God, I want to respond. This is my life journey as a doctor, lawyer, teacher, preacher, whatever it is. Mother, I am a missionary-minded person who lives for you. So there I stood or sat in the principal's house front steps. And so they said, okay, you can stay. Why don't you go to school at Portland Community College? And why don't you stay and be an assistant boys dean at the dormitory? So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I was 17 years old telling 18-year-olds to go to bed. It wasn't very effective, but I was trying. But one night, I sat in the dean's office in this old desk, just sitting there in the evening, just trying to figure out what it was that God wanted me to do. And he planted a little thought. He said, take a group on a mission trip. There I was, now probably 18 years old. What? I'm way too busy going to school, deaning. Take people on a mission trip. I'm 18 years old. I have no idea. Who will go? And there on that night in that office, I said, okay. So the next day and the next few weeks went by and I started organizing this trip. And I took a bunch of kids down to Mexico, right across the border. And we had our first missionary experience. Came back, had a successful moment. Whoa. I can do that again. It was wonderful. It's this call that when God says, who will go? Maybe for you, it's going on this mission trip. For a lot of you, it's supporting the group, right? Like, yes, we rally behind you. We are your cheerleaders. We are your church fellowship in the real life, not just a 2 hours in the weekend. No, we are praying over you. We are supporting you from underneath. And yes, you need money. We will help you. We will support you. Are you going to do a car wash? Okay, I'll stop by. Whatever it is, let's empower you to be successful in this mission trip. Or for others of you, it might just be more healing time. Or it might be speaking to a coworker. Whatever it is, who will go? I hope that you answer with Isaiah, here am I. Send me. Send me. My name might not be Isaiah, but I want to go. I want to keep the passion. Houdini's name is not Isaiah, but he's standing up and he's going. And your name might not be Isaiah, but are you going to do it too? Are you going to allow God to give you this Isaiah moment? Here am I. Send me. Send me. Let me tell you one more story as the youth come up to sing their special music song again. As you come up, I want to tell you about one more Isaiah. One more Isaiah. It's actually a pseudonym given to him by ICC because he was a child. They had to protect his identity. And he came in to the Dominican Republic because his dad was in prison. His mom had some mental incapacities. She was not able to take care of him. He came in to ICC in 1993. He actually lived with Houdini's. And he grew up there. And he needed a lot of love. And there were people who were able to love on him. They sent funds down there. They went on mission trips down there. And this Isaiah boy grew up. One moment that Hannah shared with me today about him, because she knew him when she was down there, was when Isaiah did something bad and he was being reprimanded by one of the parents. And the parent was saying, "You did something bad, and possibly you're not going to go to heaven if you do this." I don't know what he was saying, but he was like, "No, no, no. No me quiero perder. No me quiero perder. I don't want to get lost. I don't want to get lost. I don't want to get lost." And there he was, deathly afraid because he didn't want to get lost. Well, he grew up and he's still struggling. Not as fortunate, blessed as the rest of us, as Houdini's. He struggled with some challenges, had some mental disability also, and he's still down there. In fact, we think that he lives right across the street from the children's village still, in this kind of partially low-income community. So as Houdini's goes down there, and the group, he's going to go minister to these kinds of people. And these children that are there, 60, 70 children that are there right now, speaking to their lives, "Hey, you can do it. You can be successful in life. You can continue your education. You can focus." And then those of them that struggle, he can say, "Hey, God is still with you. And he will never abandon you." So let's respond as a church family. We have some connect cards. And the church family has a tradition to pass these cards out to you, and you can fill them out. So as our youth group sings, let's have these cards passed out, and why don't you check those off? Why don't you kind of engage with that card as you're engaging with the Holy Spirit and put down what it is that God is calling you to respond to.
By the Lord of sea and sky.
Amen. Amen. The church said, amen. Amen. As we close with prayer, I do want to remind you about potluck. You're always welcome, right? Everyone's welcome to potluck. And then after that, we're going to have an ICC family reunion. In other words, if you want to come and join in for about an hour, if you have been a part of International Children's Care, if you've donated, if you've supported in any way, or if you just want to learn more about it and what the ministry is about, after potluck, we'll spend about an hour from 1 to 2-ish sharing stories and updates about ICC. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the stories in Scripture. Thank you for Isaiah and the moment that he had that we can also experience. We want to come to the end of ourselves, total surrender, giving up, and allowing you to remake us, to rebirth us, to make us new, to baptize us with forgiveness, with love, with purpose. This is a moment that we want to experience daily. We want to come to you real, raw, human, and be transformed into your likeness. Be with our church family here. Bless them in every way. You know every detail. And be with the youth group and Huridis and Hannah as they plan for this mission trip. May this be a wonderful experience for them. We pray this in your name. Amen.